Good afternoon. We want to continue what we started on this morning, recommending your religion. Can you recommend your religion based on the scriptures? Do you personally approve of your religion scripturally? Person can't do that, it's probably not their religion. It's probably a good indication. And certainly we all ought to be trying to do our level best to understand why we believe what we believe and have a conviction of that so that it will be able to keep us when difficulties come and when we are tried in our faith. Next thing we want to notice is, can you recommend your religion based on your life? Based on the life that you live. Your life and religion should complement each other. Christianity is not simply a life of convenience, but one of conviction. And the way you use a certain thing is the greatest recommendation of that thing. Think about it this way. I drink alcohol, but I don't recommend it. I smoke, but I don't recommend it. You know, you can listen to an individual say that and you realize that they may not recommend it verbally, but they absolutely recommend it by their practice. You ask yourself, how has that worked out for folks' children? Parents recommend profanity because they use profanity in front of their children. You recommend it. They recommend smoking and drinking and many other vices because they practice those things. However, they may tell you, I don't recommend it verbally. I was looking up some statistics along these lines, and one of the stats that I found is that children whose parents smoke and drink alcohol are twice as likely to begin smoking on a daily basis by the age 13 through 21 than children whose parents do not smoke. So try that. For the parents who say, well, don't do this and don't do that, yet they do those very things that tell the children not to do. Their children are more likely to do that than any other children because we typically follow that which is practiced before us. That doesn't work very good for parents. How would it work for your religion? Jesus revealed again the way to understand and to know the false teachers is to see their fruit. Remember Jesus said that? Ye shall know them by their fruits. They may fool you if they come in among you looking the part of a prophet, looking the part of the preacher or the teacher, but he says ultimately if you watch them, you will know them by their fruits. That's how you determine who they truly are. And people will determine what we really believe about our religion by what we do. James revealed that religion can be seen. It is something that can be seen. It is something that we do. It is something that we practice. James in James 1 and verse number 22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a doer of the word and not a hearer, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man who beholdeth his face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and forget what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, he said, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Pure religion and undefiled before God and Father is this, to visit the fathers and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You see, religion is something that you do. Your religion, James says, can be seen. Do you recommend your religion by the life that you live? By the way you live your life, you could be recommending your religion. In fact, James also revealed in his book that faith is something that can be seen. In James chapter 2, notice verse number 14 beginning.
What doth it profit, my brethren?
Uh-huh.
Though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him?
Can faith save him? Well, just in case you think it can, then James gives us a whole scenario here. He says what? Uh-huh.
And one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?
What doth it profit if a brother or sister is naked and destitute, and you say depart, in peace. Be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful and necessary for the body. He says, brethren, what doth it profit? In other words, your faith should have acted. If you recommend your religion should have responded to those needs. In Mark chapter 2, you remember what Jesus says when they brought that impotent man in? Jesus said about that impotent man or those individuals who were bringing him to him. The Bible says in Mark 2 and verse number 5, and Jesus, when he saw their faith. You see, faith is something that can be seen. What does he mean that he saw their faith? He saw the lengths they were willing to go in order to get that man into Jesus. There were so many people there that day that was listening to Jesus, they couldn't even get through the crowd. And so they had to find a way to get to Jesus. They believed so strongly that they made a hole through the roof and lowered this man down in front of Jesus. Now what that says is Jesus looked up and saw, and he realized everything they went through in order to get that man in front of him, and Jesus saw their faith. He saw what their faith was willing to undergo in order to get that man in front of Jesus, because they believed that not only Jesus could heal the man, but that he would heal the man. So faith is something that can be seen. So if you're going to recommend your religion, you got to recommend your religion by what you do. That's how you recommend your religion. And if your life and your religion don't complement one another, my friends, then you can't recommend your religion by the life that you live. You think about a light bulb. What is the real purpose of a light bulb? If you don't mind, could you look at the light bulbs right now? Just look up and look at the light bulb. And while you're looking, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about the last time, just imagine a husband. He goes out and buys some light bulbs. He comes home, boy, he looks at that bulb. And he tells his wife, come on, dear. I can't wait to screw this light bulb in so we can look at this light bulb. He's all excited and she's excited because in just a moment they're going to screw the light bulb in and then we're going to look at that light bulb. Now I just had you all look at the light bulb. Now answer me this. When the last time you put a light bulb in and then looked at the bulb? Have you ever done that consciously? That's not the purpose of the light bulb. And so we don't screw a light bulb in and then look at the bulb. But what do? We screw a light bulb in so we can see everything else. You put a light bulb in a dark room, and the reason you put the light bulb in a dark room so that you can see in the room. And the light bulb is going to manifest everything that's in the room. And that's why I brought it in there. I'm not going to look at the bulb, I'm going to look at everything that's in the room. When you show your religion, you're not showing your religion and manifest your religion so everybody can look at you. They don't need to be converted to Bob. They don't need to be converted to me. They don't need to be converted to Craig. They don't need to be converted to our wonderful sisters. They need to be converted to God. So when they see us and they see the light that's shining in us, it ought to bring glory to God. But not to convert anyone to us. So Jesus says to those men in Matthew 5:13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And what's the purpose of it? To give light to all that are in the house. So you let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And then what? Not glorify you, but to glorify your Father which is in heaven. When we complement our religion, the things that has been given pertaining to our religion, the doctrines that has been delivered us by Christ, and our lives complement that doctrine, then, my friends, we are recommending our religion by the way we live. Amen. That's how you recommend your religion. It's like people will watch you 6 days a week to see if you recommend to them what you do on the first day of the week. You're talking about what you do. Well, you know what? You ought to come to our church. Well, that's one day a week. You invite people because you recommend your religion. Come to church with me. Come to church with me. Yes, that's one day a week. Come to church with me one day a week. Okay, but I watch you 6 days a week, and that tells me everything I need to know about what you do one day a week. Isn't that right? So the question is, can you recommend? That's why Steve Harvey couldn't recommend no one to me in a scriptural or spiritual sense. Can't recommend anything to me because I'm listening to what's coming out of your mouth. You can't recommend anything to me when I listen to you 5 days out of the week or 6 days of the week, and you are the very individual that say, well, I don't recommend this, but yet you practice that. I don't recommend you smoke, but yet you smoke. I don't recommend you drink, but yes, you drink. I don't recommend that you use profanity, but yet you use profanity. You can't recommend anything to me by way of religion. Why? Because if that's what your religion is doing for you, I don't know, excuse me, but I don't want any part of it. Because look, it sounds like to me, you and I got the same problem. See, I'm over here using profanity. I'm over here drinking. I'm over here smoking. You doing the same thing, and you trying to recommend your religion for you. For to me, I already see what your religion did for you. Nothing. Therefore, no point in me coming. Now, on the other hand, if I have all these vices and I see you and you seem to have none of those vices, if I have all these concerns and worries and things about everything that's going on and you seem to be going through just smooth sailing, if I see all the things that are changing around us and how many people are affected by it and you seem to be unaffected by it, I won't know what you're doing. Then that person says, I know Jesus. I found the true faith. I recommend you come along with me. And it'll help you overcome. When you start to learn of God, it'll help you overcome a lot of those things. That person then would be more willing to respond because they see that you recommend your religion by the life that you live. Recommending your religion. Do you recommend your religion? Do you recommend your religion based on the way you support it? Based on your support of your religion, do you recommend it? Do you support it with your attendance? You know, you rarely hear me talk about Hebrews 10, verse number 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some means, but exhorting one another more, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And the reason of that is we want to keep that in context of the book. It's not simply just missing a service occasionally and all those kind of things. We shouldn't apply it that way. But those people were literally forsaking. They were abandoning. They were trying to go back under Judaism. And they were leaving the faith and all those kind of things. So we try not to utilize that in a way to make people feel bad because they miss a service or two. That's not what that is. But the point is this. Your religion is so much more than simply your attendance. Can you recommend it by your attendance? You can't support it if you rarely show up. Can't support it. And you can imagine, I often wonder about people who rarely show up and their ability to convert other people. I haven't seen too many be very successful at that. People who barely come don't typically get other people to come. Can you imagine if you came and we saw you once bi-weekly, and then you try to convert somebody to come and they don't even see you? You're their connection. And if they don't see you, more than likely, they're not going to be comfortable. They're not going to come. They're not going to be converted because the first conversion is to you. Do you support it with your attendance? Do you support it with your availability? Look at Matthew 25. Do you support it with your availability? More to religion than going to worship, or as we used to say, to church. More to religion than simply going to church or to worship. And it's interesting to me how some people are unavailable beyond Sunday. They are available for the church on Sunday when they come, but that's about as much as you're going to get out of them. Matthew 25, read verse 41 beginning.
Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in.
Were these church people? Obviously, these are religious people. And they're being rejected as a curse
because they were unavailable. They were not available. Read.
Naked and you clothed me not.
Uh-huh.
Sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungry, athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them and say, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me.
Let me ask a question, and you all can answer this question if you like. Was Jesus condemning folks based on their attendance on Sunday? I mean, because I'm no smarter than you all are, and I didn't read that. I mean, you don't have to be that bright to understand that. That's why I can understand. Which means you should be able to understand that. Jesus did not condemn them folks because they didn't make it to Sunday services. But what is he condemning them based on what? He's condemning them based on their availability for those who make up his church. In other words, the Lord loves some people. And it would behoove you to love the same people whom he loved. And if you love those people, then love demands some things of us in serving those people and serving God. Jesus said, because those people belong to me, you were not available because you were going to church. That's what you did. You showed up on Sunday. You showed up to worship, but that is all the church could get out of you. You showed up. You think people don't show up here that don't want anything to do with you and me?
Amen. Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
You think people don't show up here that don't want anything to do with you? You think everybody in Christ wants to be your friend? Do you think everyone that walks in this door cares anything about you? Jesus is going to condemn a lot of folks because they didn't want nothing to do with his people. And because they didn't have anything to do with his people. You all hear me harp on, especially for our young people. Keep all your friends in the world if you want to. And don't garner no relationships in the church. Don't be available when people need you in the church because you don't care. You don't have anything to do with them. You don't notice them. You don't want to be with them anyway. That's not your thing. And so as a result of that, my friends, you're going to do nothing for Christ in religion. Can't recommend your religion if you can't recommend to the people that partakes and that are the same in you in religion. You can't recommend your religion. Why? Because you can only recommend those friends that you have in that world. You can't recommend the people in the church because you don't even know them. You don't have anything to do with them. And I'm just saying, as a minister of the gospel, God expects me to point this stuff out. I guarantee you, your standing before God being condemned is not going to be based on how much you made it on Sunday. That's not what'll likely get us. What'll get us is what we did toward those who were in his body. And Jesus says he was rejecting many of those people. Do you recommend your religion by the way you support it? Can it be seen in your attendance? Can it be seen in your availability? You know, it's interesting how we can find things of which we're more available in the world than we can about the things in the church. Amen. We can find more things in the world and more carnal things that we're available for than we can in the church. Amen. And that's a sad commentary, my friends. Do you support it with your assets? You've heard 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7 so much you ought to have it memorized by now. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 2, you ought to know that by now. Amen. But let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 6 and look at verse number 5 down through verse number 9. How does it read?
For every man shall bear his own burden.
Every man shall bear his own burden. So let him that is taught in the world communicate to him. Okay, that's me and you. I understand that, and you understand that.
As a gospel preacher, we preach the gospel, we should live on the gospel. You give of your means so I can have the things that I need to take care of myself, and then I give of those spiritual things that I study and give my time to that so that I can teach and preach the word of God. If I give myself wholly to that, then you give so that I can take care of myself, provide for me. So that's understood, but keep reading.
Be not deceived.
But here's the thing. Be not deceived. Come on.
God is not mocked.
God is not mocked. That's still the same context. Read.
Whatsoever man soweth.
Now you can find some other things to sow too, because we are not under any delusion that everybody that comes in here don't give as they should.
Amen.
Some folks give their money to other things.
Amen.
Some folks give their money to other stuff.
Amen.
Some folks entangle themselves with so much debt out there in the world they don't have nothing to give when they come in here. Why? Because I got to pay my cable. I got to pay my car. I got to pay this. I got to pay my insurances. I got to pay this. I got to go to school. I got this. I got that. You can find a whole myriad of things. We don't even have enough money to take care of ourselves by the time all of your wants and your needs come together.
Amen.
And so by the time we flesh out a lifestyle for ourselves that may be beyond our means, then my friends, good luck with God getting anything that he needs.
Amen.
And so if we're lucky, we might give him some scraps or something that's just left over. That's why so many gospel preachers are underpaid right now. Flipping from city to city, jumping from one place to another, trying to make ends meet. I know, because I'm a gospel preacher.
Amen.
And I'm not saying that you all don't provide for me. That's not what I'm saying. I've learned to be content with such things as I have. And so therefore, that's not moving me one way or another. But I didn't get here. I didn't start here. So if you ever want to know my story, come sit down with me and I'll be more than happy to tell you all about it. For the 20 years that I've been preaching the gospel, I will not withhold. I will tell you everything and open up your eyes. And they need to be opened. Why? Because as a few of you have already found out, you say, I never knew. I had no idea. Well, it's time for you to get an idea so you know going forward why this stuff is in the Bible. So that people can actually provide and take care of themselves. Now, we too, just like you, have to make sure that we can have a lifestyle and be content with such things and not feel like we got to flesh out a lifestyle that's beyond our means so that we can say, oh, poor me, I'm not being taken care of. Well, God forbid. And so, therefore, any situation you find yourself, you try to do the best you can in that situation. And if you can improve your situation, you improve your situation. But that does not take away the responsibility of the church, nor does it take away the responsibility of the preacher and the minister of the gospel to preach the truth and make sure that church is fed and spiritually uplifted and encouraged. Read, if you will. Be not deceived. Now, in connection with this, be not deceived. What?
God is not mocked.
God is not going to be mocked. Come on.
Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap.
What? If he sows to his flesh, if he sows to all carnal things, if he sows to all those things that he likes and he loves and those things that he thinks is important in his life, if he sows to everything but the right thing, he's going to, of those things, reap corruption. How long are they going to last when you give all your money to it? How long can you expect those things to last? What are they going to do for you in spiritual things? And haven't we learned that no matter how much we get, it's never enough? You keep sowing to those carnal things, sowing to those carnal things. It's not that you can't have those carnal things. It's that you left off giving and sowing to those spiritual things. And he that soweth to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Look at verse number 9.
Let us not be weary in well-doing.
And let us not be weary in well-doing for what?
In due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Do you recommend your religion by the way you support it? With your attendance? Are you available? If we needed you, would you be available? If the Lord needs you in his service, would you be available? In your assets, when you actually support the church, in your attendance, your availability, and your assets. It speaks to your time, your effort, your ability, your influence, all being utilized in the cause of Christ for his church. And this is one of the problems with people converting someone to Christ. It is very difficult to sell someone on supporting something that you yourself will not support. So can you recommend your religion by the way you support it? And then finally, can you recommend your religion based on what it does for you? Based on what it does for you. Before I move forward, let me ask the question, what does your religion here at the Lord's church, among God's people, what does it do for you? I'll let you think about that for a moment. Because sometimes we may never ask ourselves these questions. What is it doing for you? How is it working for you? Does it work? Does it work at all? Does it give you something to look forward to? Do it give you something to hold on to? Now let me ask a series of questions. Does it work for you when you're in a crisis? Have you been in a crisis in the Lord's church? And how did your religion fare when the crisis came? What did it do for you? Did it keep you? Did it hold you? Did it give you strength? Did it get you through? 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says, there had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. You know, Paul was writing this to the church in 1 Corinthians 10, and he was telling those people, no matter how bad the outward trial is, that it is nothing more than other men have suffered. It is not new. It is not, nothing's going to catch you off guard. Not going to catch God off guard, because everything you go through in this life is something that man has always gone through. You're not going to find this one thing, this new thing, that no one else in the world in the human condition has ever suffered. He said, that's not going to happen. So therefore, my friends, you can trust in God. Is your religion going to get you through? Has it gotten you through the crisis that has entered your life? James says, count it all joy. Is that right? Can we do what James is asking? Does your religion work for you? Does it work in fortune and misfortune, as Paul's did in Philippians chapter 4? I know how to be abased and I know how to bow. Paul says he's in all circumstances or situations. He knows how to suffer needs. He knows how to be full. He knows how to be hungry. I mean, is your religion work like that? You see, then again, I can talk from the vantage point of a gospel preacher. I've been in some places. I've been in some situations. It better work, because if it didn't, I'd have quit. Amen. But I've also been in situations where it got better. And some people can quit on both extremes. Some people can get over here and get so good, they can forget God. Start to get full of themselves. Some people can be in some dire circumstances and they can forget God, feeling like God is responsible and God shouldn't allow them to be going through that. Does yours work in fortune and in misfortune? Does it work for you when you're in loneliness? What will your religion do for you when you feel like no one else cares and no one else is seeing after you? What will your religion do for you when you're laying up in a hospital bed and nobody comes to see you? What is it going to do for you at that time? Are you going to question your religion? Is it going to let you down in that hour? We're going to have to start asking ourselves these questions, right? If you're going to recommend your religion, you have to recommend a religion based on what it's going to do for folks, because you know what it's doing for you. Amen. And if you can't recommend it, because, my friends, listen, I don't trust my own religion. I got in a crisis situation and I crumbled under that crisis. I got in in this situation and I question God. I got in that situation and I saw how the church behaved themselves and I figured that can't be right. Can't be the church. Because some people will question the church based on what we do or what we fail to do. They'll then lose their faith because of you and me. People get in a certain situation, they'll lose their faith in God because they feel like God shouldn't allow them to get in that situation or to go through that situation or to be in that situation. See, I'm saying, do you recommend your religion based on what it does for you? Can you recommend it? Don't give me the right answers. Give me real answers. You see, I don't know. I know what we teach and I know what we preach, but I don't know what it means to you. I don't know what it's doing for you when the lights are off in the dark and no one else is there and you're left with your thoughts to understand whether or not you really believe and trust in God and show and have his grace in your life and all that. I don't know what it does for you in that hour, but I know the way people come in and out, I got a feeling it's doing some different things to different people. They can't recommend their religion because they don't trust it, because they don't approve of it, because it doesn't do anything for them when they think it should, when they need it most. Does it work for you in discouragement? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And notice verse number 3 and verse number 4 when you get there. How many of you have been discouraged? Raise your hand if you've ever been discouraged. It's pretty much everyone. We've all had our day, haven't we? We've all seen those valleys, have we not? And when you're in that valley, my friends, what I need to know is, does your religion pull you up? Does it pull you out? Does it come through when you need it to? The fact that I asked, have we been in discouraged, means I saw every hand, just about every hand went up. But it doesn't mean we stayed there. Amen. It means at some point we got out of that hole. Yes. And we got up. And the fact that you still here, I like to think, is due to your religion. Yes. Which means you ought to be able to recommend it, because I've been discouraged before. When you're talking to someone, and this is how we convert people. When you're talking with someone, sometimes, my friends, you got to quit trying to be politically correct and all this kind of stuff and just take the gloves off and just be honest with the people. I know exactly where y'all been there. I've been there. I'm going to tell you exactly what got me out of there.
That's right.
Something else I ran into while I was over there in Tennessee. I ran into a preacher who lost his faith. And I spent about 4 hours with him. And we restored it.
Amen.
And his wife came to me and thanked me to the high heavens for restoring my husband's faith, because he was going in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
Been a preacher for a long time, but I'm telling you, it's real and it's happening. And when you get in certain situations, you're so ashamed, you don't know who you can talk to.
Amen.
And he found a preacher that he could talk to that he wasn't afraid to tell this to. We help restore his faith. Because this works.
Amen.
If I hadn't had this, I wouldn't have known what to tell that man. Because in that hour, no psychologist, no psychiatrist, no doctor, no, you know, self-help guru, none of them are going to be able to restore that to you without this. Read for me, if you will. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4.
Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
uh-huh,
Father of mercies and the God of all comfort.
The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort.
Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God.
Do you all know about Paul, the apostle? You all know his story. Even if you don't know it intimately, you know it. You know enough of Paul's story to know what that man went through in taking the gospel. You know enough of his story to know how low he got sometimes and to know how he suffered.
to know the persecution that came to him. And you know enough about all those men that were taught by Jesus and how many of them died after they had gone a hard way and then ended up having to die for the faith. Murdered, persecuted, killed for the faith. And Paul is calling God the God of all comfort. Because in those moments when you want to give up, you need something and you need someone. And it's at that time, I want to know, do you recommend your religion? Will it get you out of that and get you through that in that moment and in that time? Does it work for you in death? Paul's writing to some Christians even in death. Their loved ones are departing from this life. People are dying. And they're concerned about what's going to happen to their loved ones. And Paul says, I would not have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep. Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Paul was under the illusion, or maybe he was delusional, but he thought that if you had the faith, if you had a true understanding and belief in God and you were part of the faith and you had a real hope, it'll get you through those moments. And Paul says you shouldn't sorrow like others who have no hope. Because your loved one is gone, we know that there's a God who's going to see them through to the other side. Brother Craig, you lost your father a few years back. What got you through? Wasn't it this? Wasn't it the hope of everlasting life? Wasn't it the hope that you'll see him again one day? What if Craig didn't have that? What if you didn't have that for those who departed in faith? See, that's what gets you through. David got through, didn't he, when he lost his child? He can't come back to me, but I can go to him. And that's what David held on to. So no matter how low he got, he had something that would sustain him, even in the face of death. Can you recommend your religion based on what it does for you? Does it work? Do you really believe it? Do you truly believe all things work together for them that are good? For good to them that are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:28. Do you really believe when God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you? See, it's going to help you in them lonely times, right? That's going to help you in them times when you feel like people are not coming to you and helping you and assisting you when you need it. That's going to help you when you feel down and out and stuff like that. That's really going to help you. It's going to pick you up when you think don't nobody else really care. It's going to help you when something happened to you and people don't call you and check on you and stuff like that, and you feel like you're in this by yourself. You look at the church and you say, you know what? Those people don't care about nobody. See, sometimes we go through that stuff, don't we? That's that discouragement talking. They don't care nobody. Why? Because you feel like you not being noticed and given the attention that you feel like you deserve in your situation. So you might start to misspeak against God's people. But guess what? I'm human. I'm human. And that sister could be going through something and I might miss it. But God didn't. God didn't. Greg can get so caught up on some things. You know, I've been going out of town here lately, and I've been going to gospel meetings and stuff. And I tell you, you out there in gospel meetings, and sometimes you run into the situations I was running into, and those people need help, you help them. But you know, there's a congregation back here that also needs me. And so what ends up happening is you get caught doing some of this, and you lose a little sight of this. And then you come back here, and then it's like, okay, and then you know what? I'm back now. I'm off the road now. Now I can pay attention. Now I can focus in again on the church here and see what she needs. We thank God for all his work.
But sometimes we can lose a little sight of things because we might be doing some other things. You know that to be the case in your own life. But God doesn't miss it, any of it. He's aware of all of it. And when all else fails around us sometimes, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And when you feel like you're not important because no one's paying attention, God says, I have numbered the very hairs on your head.
Amen.
That's how important you are to me. And if you get a little lower, God says, I looked at you in a situation where you were helpless and hopeless, and I sent my son so you can be with me in heaven. You see, that's the kind of thing that's going to get us through. Do you believe the Lord is your helper?
Amen.
Hebrews 13:6. Do you believe that God is truly able? 2 Corinthians 9:8.
Amen.
Now I ask you this, how many people can benefit from your recommendation of a religion that will work for them? You see, I have to truly believe that my religion works for me in order for me to recommend it to you. Because I guarantee you that when people talk to you on a personal level, they typically are telling you about their problems. They typically are telling you about what's going on with them in life. And sometimes that's what begins the religious discussion in the first place, because I'm over here struggling and I just need to tell somebody. And then when they unload that on you, you have to say, I know exactly what to do to help you. Many people have sat with me in that office back there and in other places as well. And you know what I say to them? I know exactly what to do to help you. Brother Mike Thornton sent me a person off his job that was seeing something in him. And she wanted to know, what is it about you? What are you doing? He recommended his religion. He sent that lady to me. She came in that office and she told me all this stuff that was going on in her life. And I looked at her in her eyes and I said, I know exactly what to do to help you. She went and got her husband. Her husband came, unbeliever. He walked in that office. He sat down. I said, I know exactly what to do to help you. Every time a person comes to me and they tell me their story, tell me about you, tell me about your childhood, tell me about your life, tell me everything you want to tell me, and I'm going to write it down. And when they get through telling me, I say, I know exactly what to do to help you. Do you know why I can say that with such confidence? It's not because I'm that smart, because God is. Because God has the answers. And if they're willing, I'm going to apply what God says to their lives.
Amen.
And if they're willing,
mm-hmm.
we're going to help them.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to help them. And I recommend my religion with everything that I have in my being. But the question wasn't to me. The question was to y'all.
Amen.
I already know in whom I believe. Bob, can you say that?
Amen.
Bob, you clear. You already got it, right? Sister Ballas, you got it? Y'all already got it, right?
Amen.
Everybody else got it?
Yes.
You see, I don't know if you got it, but I know I got it. You got to know for you.
Yes.
Can you recommend your religion?
Yes.
Can you recommend it by the way you support it? Can you recommend it by the way you can scripturally defend it? Can you recommend it personally? Can you recommend it because of what it does for you? Can you recommend your religion? If you can't recommend your religion, you've got a serious problem and it's time for you to get busy.
Amen.
If you're here this afternoon, I've held you long enough and I thank you for your time and attention. But every once in a while, you got one of those sermons that just speaks to the church and you know it needs to be said and you know we need to hear it and you know we need to have some self-reflection and we need to consider some things and we need to make sure that we are truly sold on what we believe. And if you're here this afternoon and you're not, we want to sell you on what we believe so that this can become your religion as well. But you've got to believe in it. You've got to believe in Jesus. That's the starting point.
You've got to repent of your sins and send him to the cross. You've got to confess him before witnesses, and then you have to be baptized to be added to his body, wherein he is the head, my friends. Be faithful to him. Follow his directions. Live for him. Live in accordance with his will, and heaven will be your home. If you need to respond to this invitation, or if there's some things that we can help you with personally, you need to rededicate yourself, whatever it is we can help you with, you need to make things right with the church, with the Lord, come as we stand and as we sing the invitation song.